Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're currently listening to the free version of Let Me Talk.
If you want longer, ad-free episodes, even earlier, head to lmtpod.com to find out how to subscribe.
Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk!
Hello and welcome to Let Me Talk Details. This is a respite from the weekly whirlwind of top flight football. It's a space to break down the big picture topics and get into the details away from the game-by-game analysis. I'm David Mooney. As ever, the Athletic City correspondent Sam Lee is alongside me.
Hello.
And former City defender Nader Manua.
Hello.
Sam, what is on today's show?
Nader talks about why he did not play for Nigeria during his playing days, and we quiz him about his future in punditry after winning a very deserved sport journalism award.
Let Me Talk Details is a platform for you to get involved as well. We'd love to hear from you, so email hello@lmtpod.com if you've got any questions, thoughts or ponderings about City or football in general. Now, Sam, we have got Nader back, the Silver Award winner at the Sports Journalism Awards.
Yeah, listen, that's...
How much do you care about that? Well, I mean, I guess like it's nice to have it, but like...
It was nice to be nominated. It was nice to be in consideration. It was nice to see to hear people wish me well once they saw the nominations were out there. And then to see that finish second. And to finish second behind Ian Wright, who's a big like hero of English football.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be one ahead of Ali McCoy's, too, is almost universally liked as well because he actually brings joy to the game of football.
Yeah.
Like, I feel I've got more in common with those two than, say, perhaps certain others. Like, getting a message from Izzy. Like, I messaged Izzy Christensen when she got nominated as well, because she's someone that, you know, is obviously a friend of this pod and, you know, just friends in general. Mm. But yeah, it was nice because, like I say, if I take myself out of it, like, if Ian Wright's on TV, I'm watching it. If Alan McCoy's got the comms on, like, I'm listening to it. So yeah, it's nice to be in a class with those people who aren't just like great pundits, but these are guys who've had great careers as well.
Well, we were saying as well, so obviously in terms of Ian Wright, he's like, and the thing is, I hope you know where I'm going with this. They're both like fully household names.
Yeah.
In like big, you know, Ali McCoy, everyone knows him from like
Question Sport
20 years ago for a start. But like, he's on Amazon for the Christmas games or whatever. Everyone loves it when he's on because he's just having fun. Everyone loves that. Ian Wright is kind of like Ian Wright. It's like if he's on, I hadn't really thought about it, but I'm sure if he's on that shortlist, he's winning because everyone loves Ian Wright. Especially, he's had a proper resurgence in the last few years. Like, he's just like this big like figurehead in like English football, but also to an extent, English life as well. These are these big kind of names, and they're on like a lot of, like Ian Wright's on a lot of stuff, and Ali McCoist has kind of got this captive audience in terms of basically Amazon. The people just like that because he stands out from co-commentators. It feels like you're a lot more like underground, but suddenly you're in this.
Yeah.
It feels to me like you say no to a lot more than they do.
Well, you obviously do a lot, and like you're doing this.
Yeah,
but like it's just interesting. Like
I do a lot of stuff. Well, to be fair, because it's a radio show on Sundays. Like that total audience for the 6 hours, or whatever. It's like 1.6 million.
Yeah, we were saying before, like it's a big show.
It is a very big show. Yeah. So to be honest,
slightly more than us, I think.
it's similar. As long as you got more than one, it's fine. So that does matter. But I think what's different is I think Ian Wright. It's so funny with Ian Wright because I want to call him Wrighty, but then he's also my friend's dad.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? Like, so there's that whole link to it. But he's a British football and a cultural icon. And one thing about him is like when I feel like listening to him talk about football, he doesn't sound like he hates your team. You know what I mean? Like
well, the thing that I think again, stands out.
Not again.
No, well, no, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not going to go down there just yet.
What I think stands out is like what you said about both McCoist and Wright is that they make it fun. Yeah. And like I can hear them both laughing in their...
They enjoy it.
They enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah. If they need to be serious, they'll be serious. But like they enjoy football.
Yeah.
And you can hear it in terms of how they talk about it, which is essentially why you as a consumer have turned the game on because you want to enjoy it. You know what I mean? So when you've got people who... speak like that and have that sort of like impact and are, it's not to say that they're liked by everyone, but it's like when the people that dislike them, it's such a reach. Like if you dislike Ian Wright, because he likes Arsenal so much, but he doesn't dislike your team. He just really likes Arsenal. And I think that level of passion that he has towards them is great. I think the stuff he does in terms of trying to help along with, say, women's football as well, trying to help that grow and being one of the faces of that. And it's not just from a superficial standpoint. He's like, embedded in it.
Yeah, he's fully
in. He's really involved in it. I think that stuff does matter. And yeah, so to be in that, to be nominated to begin with was great. To be in that top three and said the silver award. I don't really know what a silver award is. I wasn't at the award ceremony or whatever.
Snubbed it.
Well, it's funny because I had city and community work the next morning. So that's why I couldn't go because I needed to be at that meeting. And I don't really do award ceremonies, but but like I say, to be in the mix there is incredible. Like something I remember. I didn't need to win to feel good, and I feel great because, as I say, so many people have reached out to me before that, and good. People voted for me who I don't know as well.
Yeah, well, congratulations, mate. Honestly, like,
cheers, mate.
Do you remember that drunk message that drunk voice note I sent you like 3 years ago?
We're about doing more or something. Or
yeah, because it was that thing like, because you always hear these things where it's like, oh, maybe certain people don't get encouragement or whatever, but like obviously I'd probably known you for like about a year at that point. But I was like, obviously I was drunk. It was at the work thing when like they'd signed Grealish and I'd been getting so much shit all summer from Villa fans. I like fully let my hair down. It was like free bar until 7, but they were like, if you just ask for 2 bottles of wine at 5 to 7, you'll be fine. So I was just doing that, and then but I was just like, Nadim needs to know that if he wanted to be the top guy in the country, you could do this, because it was around the time the Euros were on and Emma Hayes was on, and everyone was like, Emma Hayes is amazing, because like she's talking in detail about the tactics, she's given a perspective that people don't really appreciate and you don't really hear on TV. And obviously I knew that that's exactly what Nadim does, and I was just like, obviously drunk, I was like, if you wanted to do this, you could do this, but obviously that's why it's an interesting conversation, because you don't want to do that.
No,
but it's interesting because now you're in that kind of conversation in terms of this particular award anyway, you've got that recognition. But then it's like, on the last detail show, I think it was the last one, one of the questions was about what I'm going to do with my career and how I got to this point and what I want to do afterwards and what if Pep leaves, well, what when Pep leaves, all that kind of stuff. But like, where do you want to go with it? Like, are you happy just doing what you're going to do? Or are you going to just disappear one day and say, I'm done?
There's the sunset, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll disappear as such, just because I enjoy doing the stuff that I'm doing now.
Was that not your plan at one point?
To disappear,
yeah, or was that just like a social media thing which you've
it's funny, someone showed me a screenshot when it said I've won the award and it says congratulations to like my Twitter handle, which I haven't logged into for 3 years.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like that basically sums up who I am as a person. I'm really not online at all. I think I'm learning every single year, almost every week, about the industry itself, learning more about football, myself within it, learning what I like, what I don't like, and continuing to sort of like have. So this show is the same as other shows that I do. And I think these are good shows, but they get better the more you do and the more connection you have with people. So I'd rather just focus on a few things whereby, like, it's for us in here, it's not even necessarily about what we say, because we understand it because of our understanding of the people and why they say it.
Yeah.
We wouldn't necessarily know that if you just dipped in and out of certain things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's why I love the radio show that I do. Like, Julian Laurent thinks about football in a certain way, which is similar to me. Steve Crossman's got like a certain view of football, which is different to lots of other people. And anyone else that comes on, like, you get it. You know what I mean? So when you go in there, you can be yourself, because it's not a case of, what was that? It's ridiculous. Oh, we're going to try and argue about things, because you know the starting point. And I'm not really concerned about going into new ventures whereby I have to go through all that work again to try and figure people out, especially because on some of those bigger platforms, some people are just there to be superficial, and I'm not really bothered about that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get it.
So yeah, this is me. What you see is what you get. I might be doing something linked to Champions League next year, maybe.
Maybe. You're doing the draw?
Maybe. No, I'm coming out of retirement. I'm going to go play for a team like, I don't know, BAOK, Salonika, or whatever. Oh, yeah,
so
it's called.
They've extended it now, haven't they? It's a shambles. So
yeah,
it's going to be yours. It's going to be you and Stephen Ireland in midfield.
Yeah, yeah. Our Monday night team is going to be playing in the Champions League next year, yeah. But yeah, there's possibly one new thing next year, but that's it.
The international break happened recently, and I wasn't aware of this, Nathan, but you've got quite an interesting in relationship with international football.
Oh, I do, yeah. Played loads of full international games, mate. Yeah, such an interesting relationship.
That's not what I mean, and you know it.
Also, just before I get to that, why do people hate international football so much? Is it because it's cool to hate it?
I think it's probably cool to hate it because everyone loves the Premier League, don't they?
Mm.
Everyone just loves the Premier League.
Nobody don't know. Not everyone loves the Premier League. People love their teams. They don't love the Premier League.
It's the drama around it. It's the FPL. It's the fact there's always something. There's always a crisis club. There's always controversy. It's like this massive industry, this massive bubble. And people can't wait to have that back. And then when you break from that, like on a weekend, it just feels like nothing's happening. Because like England are playing whoever.
Yeah.
Or like, Wales are playing a qualifier. Oh, whatever. Like, it matters to the people who are fully plugged into that.
Mm.
But a lot of people, well, obviously there's loads of people who do go to England games. There's loads of people who care about England games. But obviously the relationship with the national team, it ramps up in the summer for a tournament, because I suppose we can afford to be a bit blasé about England, because like, well, they're going to win those games.
I will answer the question. But that's the thing that I think is a down on my perspective of English football, just because. Did you happen to see the Colombia versus Spain game?
No.
So it was at the London Stadium, and Colombia scored, and they were running into the crowd. The crowd was bonkers. Mm. Like, so many Colombian fans there. And it's like the most important goal they'd ever scored. Mm. And that's what it is. And even
like Endrick celebrating at Wembley. Like, as soon as he was celebrating, I was like, "What? Imagine that moment for him, like, scoring at Wembley at 17 against England."
That's the thing. What's the South American football specialist called again?
Tim Vickery
was saying in Brazil, they don't have friendlies. Friendlies aren't a concept at all. Every game is huge. Every game matters.
Also, they played one friendly in Europe since Russia 2018.
Right.
Because of the pandemic and because of the Nations League, there's fewer windows. So they've been like, they want to test themselves against European teams because they keep getting knocked out since 2002. They keep getting knocked out by European teams. And the viewpoint in South America is, we're kind of too street football, too many skills. These guys in Europe are running rings around us with like set pieces and organisation and defending and stuff. But they can't play us. They can't play our teams. So obviously this England, they played Czech Republic, I think, like 3 years ago. That's the only game they played in Europe or against European teams in 6 years until this England game. So
plays into as well. But you can see, as I say, these games are huge. And I think the games matter to the players that will be playing and so on. But you can just sense a sense of apathy, like just amongst the crowd or just general conversation about it. And the only I feel like it's good for like confirmation bias. If someone says Southgate's no good and then they lose in a friendly, well, Southgate's no good.
Yeah,
like, if they win, it's just a friendly. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? There's no way out of it. But to get to my side of things, so yeah, it was when Mancini was at City, just arrived, I think it was, and he came in like November time, and I was out of the team. I'd been in the team under Mark Hughes, but now I was out of the team. Like, by out of the team, I mean I'm barely even like considered to play football at all. That was the rise that season of Dedric Boyata, and Dedric came in to the squad, all of a sudden he was playing centre back every so often, and then they were even thinking about putting him at right back. And at this point, I'd been playing for 5 years as like that sort of double role or whatever. At the start of that season, Dedric was a sub for the reserves. So when Roberto comes in and the guy's getting elevated, many, many tears. It's a bit weird. I like Dedric, good friends of him, but he's like, what's going on? And I think that was, there's an African Cup of Nations coming up that January time. And at the time, like, I'm out of the City team for the first time properly, like out of it. And the manager, I think it was Bertie Vogts, said he wants to try and take me to this tournament. And I was like, I don't know.
This is the Nigerian manager.
Yeah. I'm thinking, I don't know if me going away for 6 weeks is going to help my situation at City. And lots of people would be like, oh, you know, if you go, you'll be in the shop window, you do this, you'll do that. I just wasn't convinced. And looking back, I do regret it. Really do regret it, because like international football is one of those things which is like a real privilege to get a chance to do, and club football in some ways will look after itself. But being a young person from Manchester at that point, with the club being my own and me thinking that's the beyond end.
Well, you didn't want
to
leave, like.
Yeah, I didn't want
to
leave.
It's easy to say now. I know. I'm sure you do regret it, but it's easy to say because you did leave.
Yeah.
You did make your life elsewhere.
Yeah.
But at that point, I understand why you didn't do it.
I think what I'd say is there's a difference between leaving and being booted out of a place. And that's the thing. When it came down to City, I was essentially booted out, but as was the case with many other people.
Like, the thing is, if you would have gone to AFCON, you might have had that experience, but then you'd have been booted out of City and you'd have gone, oh, it's because I went to AFCON, and maybe you would have regretted going.
So maybe, but like, I don't think Roberto needed any more justification to not play me. Mm. And availability would have been a huge one, because say that January, I think, was when we played United in the League Cup semi-finals. Yeah. And again, I wasn't being selected. Dedrick played very well. I remember after the game at Old Trafford, I think we lost, and Tevez is coming in saying, oh, I thought I was going to give a shout out to like Dedrick. He showed so much personality in the game, blah, 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 all this stuff. And it's like a huge moment for him. But I thought, well, that moment could have been mine or should have been mine, because I'm the more senior player within that space. But I knew it was just heading in the other direction. So then from when I didn't go to that call-up, the sentiment amongst many, because Bertie Vogt, the Nigerian manager at the time, wasn't there for that long. The sentiment was that, like, I'd rather beg to play for England than, say, choose to play the country of my birth in Nigeria. And I never got a call again. This is from the age of 24. I never got a call again. There were people defensively, we're talking about Danny Shittu's, people who were playing in, like, Championship, League One, wherever. Every other centre-back in England that was available was being, like, called up. But I never was. Never one more time. And I think that was one of the biggest misunderstandings in the way that Nigerian football kind of works is very different to like English football.
We'll be back in a few minutes after an ad break. Speak to you shortly.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Let Me Talk is sponsored by you, the listeners.
The best way to support the podcast is by subscribing via Memberful.
You can pay as little as £2 per month, which gives you early access to all our podcasts ad-free, and they're packed with even more content.
That gives you even more minutes of us to fill up your week.
Subscribing is really easy, and the longer episodes will integrate seamlessly with your podcast app of choice, be it Spotify or Apple. Head over to lmtpod.com for more information on signing up and links to all of our socials.
There's no mechanism to say, actually, you know, I am available.
Well, if you think about it realistically, the only time we know people aren't available for international duty is when they retire.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I've not retired. I just, for some reason, was just completely out. And nobody'd ever heard me say, I do not want to play for Nigeria. Because I even said to Bertie Vogt, made sure to say this, right now I feel like I can't. I said, I can't do it right now because of this situation. I was very open and honest with him about it. But again, that was the sentiment that was there. There were so many changes in managers and so on in that time. And they very quickly just moved to the side. And I think in some ways they do that with certain players, because there are others who are desperate to play for England, like really desperate to do it. So yes, you could have the, like Saka could play for Nigeria, for example, but maybe he said, you know, I feel more English, I want to do this, I want to do that. But that was never something that I said. And all that you would have found me saying from back then is, someone says, oh, it's a big decision, you want to play for England or Nigeria. I said the decision comes when both call-ups arrive at the same time. And it turned out neither did. So I'm just going to assume that they lost in the mail. But yeah, even then, in 2018, I was trying to reach out, speaking to JJ Koch, who was like a big part of the, not backroom staff as such, but like the entourage of stuff in Nigeria. I was thinking, I need to speak to him, try and figure this out. But then I went to the USA, and from when I went to the USA, I was like, I can't be coming back to playing these international breaks on that sort of journey at this stage of my life now. So it didn't work out, and I ended up being my cousin, my uncle's friends with JJ Okocha. So in time, I was able to talk to him about it, and he said, ah, he understands. But he spent the last 10 years flaming me in terms of the like public perception. Because he said this guy's got no like loyalty whatsoever. Right. He doesn't want to play for Nigeria, and you know it's only JJ Okocha. I mean, he's not like significant, is he? So,
yeah. I guess is that like? I guess that must be a thing in like, African countries as well. Like, not so much African countries, but I feel like maybe towards English players who can play for England. In fact, you see it with Ireland as well. Mm. Like the kind of the feelings towards Rice and Grealish. It's like you could have played for us, but you want to go and play for England. And it's like because of that reputation that England has around the world as well. It's all that. If you got that reputation of you've turned your back on your country, your people to go and play for them, that must be very, like, it's difficult to get over that.
It is difficult, and it's a difficult case for lots of people who have, like, say, two identities as such. Like, I didn't have a British passport till I was 15, 16 years of age. So realistically, like, you know, I could have played for, say, that Victory Shield stuff for England at 16, but that would have only been because I was in school there. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't English, and I wasn't British.
That's the gigs thing, isn't it? He played for like England schoolboys, but it was the same thing, like just because he was a
just literally just because of the school situation. So it's a tough one, and I think what makes it more of a paradox is when I played for England under 21s for the first time. In fact, I got 20s call at first. You just arrive at the training ground, and there's a letter that says you've been selected to play for England. A car will pick you up after this game, and you will go here and you will play in this game. There's no consent form to give to a parent or anything like that. It's like you are. Now this.
You are our property.
Yeah, you are on. You will come here, and that's what it is. The only way to counter that is to sort of like reach out and say, no, I don't want to do it.
How would you have said you felt at the time in terms of your national identity?
Even to this day, like, this is me being completely honest and transparent for everyone. Like, I support teams, but the team I support unequivocally is Nigeria because that's where I'm from. Mm. That's where my family's from. That's where my extended family's from. That's where there are more people that like me. I've got more in common with them than, say, I would do, you know, for like an England team as such. An England thing has come because, you know, being raised in Manchester, like I feel Mancunian as well. Being through City Academy, watching them, like I support them. But like, I can't say I support them when like Mancini has booted me out the door, you know what I mean? So there's been a time where that's, my identity has been questioned at that point, but it's never been the case when it comes down to Nigeria as such. But again, so I mentioned the letters. There'll be certain people, like, I'm hoping all this stuff has changed, but in terms of Nigerian youth football and things like that, certain elements of it were quite corrupt. Certain people would be picked over others for certain reasons. Like, maybe someone, this...
Maybe,
allegedly, this family member might know this coach, and as a consequence, they're going to speak to this coach to make sure their child comes in. Mm. Maybe all of a sudden, there's like more of like a nationalist type person who's in play, who says, we're only going to pick people who are staying in Nigeria, who are playing in Nigeria right now. You know, there's an element of like politics to it.
Yeah.
Even in terms of things like travel, the infrastructure and all that from back then, it's not even comparable. So again, as I finish this game for City and there's a Mercedes with a chauffeur waiting outside for me to take me to this training, to this nice hotel to then have the kit. Or it's like, well, Nigeria's here, you know, you can make your own way here. You know, or we'll try and get you a flight and then we're probably going to be doing this. And then everything's different. So as I say, this is the paradox, the fact that I think there are 200 million people living in Nigeria, millions more around the world. From just a numbers standpoint, that level of expectation stuff is far bigger than a lot of people believe it to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But still, the fact that England is linked itself to the Premier League as well, and that's where so many players are striving to play, so many people trying to go over there, be successful and so on. It's in even things like in your contracts when sponsored by a certain company. It's like England is a tier one country where if you get a call up for them, you get this amount of money, you get this next level of contract. Nigeria is like twos, threes, and so on. So even financially, you know, structure wise for your career,
you might even have the difficulty of managers going, well, I don't want to lose this guy. in January for AFCON.
Which should people talk about, don't they? It's real. It's 100% real. It's 100% real. That, because some managers, not every manager is like Jurgen Klopp, who wishes all his players well when they go away.
Yeah, there are just some, like, go and play for your country.
There are some managers whereby, in terms of recruitment, they see it as like a real significant flaw. Because, well, no, but he's going to be away for 6 weeks. So there's not a context around, oh, you know, I hope he does well. So, nah, it's not going to be working for us, because if you're not available for the whole season, then we don't want you. Mm. So I think as far as, and this is the link again to Western football and that Western football calendar. Like, there are other parts of the world whereby they play from like January through to wherever, and it's no problem whatsoever. But in England, this is the calendar, and anything that goes against that is perceived as a big negative, and so it'll affect the way they perceive your value in that space.
Yeah. I've got a question. It's not necessarily related to the international stuff, although I'm sure we'll come back to it. When you mentioned how you're good mates with Dedrick, but that scenario, I'm thinking in my head, and I'm sure listeners will be thinking as well, like, imagine having like that situation where you're like, I'm the senior man, this should be me.
Yeah.
I fucking hate this situation.
Yeah.
But I like this guy. Like, how do you stop those emotions blending? Yeah, how does it not? Because I'm sure for other people, maybe it was even for you at a point. I reckon for me, I just decided that would have bled over into, actually, I don't like this guy. Yeah. And I don't want him to get injured. Like,
yeah.
I don't like this guy anymore because we're in competition here. Like, I feel for a lot of people, that would have been a very tricky situation to deal with on a personal level.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think for me, where I'm a bit different is that I'm not really hostile towards teammates. That's me personally. I wouldn't say that's the case for everyone. Mm-hmm. I think I more so like can not go within myself as such, but I can face disappointment. Like with Dedrick, when he came through the reserves and stuff, like, I didn't really know him like that. I got to know him more by spending more time with him. I could speak to him now and whatever. And again, really nice guy and like really good professional, trying his absolute best. And shortly after I left, he then got the same treatment that I got. Like, Roberto made him a big deal for that season. And then like a couple of years later, Dedrick's playing 2 games, if that, you know what I mean? He's just getting booted to the side as well. And the point I remember, and this is all very linked, yeah, so bear, stick with me on this story. So once upon a time when I would spend money on cars, I had a Maserati Gran Turismo, yeah. Maserati Gran Turismo S, loved it. And I loved it because it was different to all the other cars that other people had.
I'm just going to Google this, carry on.
It's a nice car, 2009 Maserati Gran Turismo S, yeah. It's a nice car, even had buttons to like make the sound of the engine louder, everything, yeah, it's class. But it was distinctly Italian, yeah. And it came with a faulty battery, but I didn't know that until a few months later. So sometimes, you drive it, you'd park somewhere, go do what you're doing, come back in, the car wouldn't start.
Flat battery, yeah.
Yeah, like just wouldn't start. But it's not that necessarily it was flat, because you keep going, keep going, keep going, then it might just start. So there's a game at City, I've not been playing or whatever, and I think maybe Micah must have gone down injured. And at this point, Dedrick's never played right back. And Roberto turns to the bench and says, Dedrick, go and get warm. And I'm like, what? But that's my thing? What? I was like, okay, this is weird. I think in the end I came on for like 5 minutes or something. Game finished, and City have that service tunnel, don't they? Back in the day, you used to get your cars down there. So I'm head's gone or whatever. So I finish the game, shake hands, whatever, shower. I'm one of the first out. Go to the tunnel. Could you get my car, please? Car's not coming. Other people come in, getting the car going. I'm like, what's going on here? Like, what's happening? My car was at the top, mate. Last car was not starting. Yeah. Was not starting. This is me thinking, like, what's going on in my career? My car's not starting. Got the car to start in the end. Went home. Didn't sleep a wink the whole night, mate. And I was like, so, you know, sometimes when you talk about players who aren't playing and want to leave, my problem was that I never wanted to leave. Mm. And as from my sort of logical standpoint, I went to know the reasons why I wasn't playing. Roberto wasn't offering that at all. You wouldn't really be good at linking, having those like one-to-one personal relationships. But I didn't want a relationship with him. I just needed to know why. Mm. And then I had this into a car, which was like a £100,000 car now that wasn't working. And the embarrassment of everybody knowing that, like, well, why haven't you left yet? Well, it's because my car's not starting. You know what I mean? Premier League player's car doesn't start. Well, barely a Premier League player at that point. But on the way out, being literally phased out. And then from there, I barely played a game for City. That's when he just, yeah, it was tough night, that one.
Mm.
Very tough night.
Yeah. Nice motor, that.
Yeah, it was. It was very, I loved it until it stopped loving me back. Yeah. And then from there, now I drive a flipping Countryman hybrid, you know.
At what point did
talk
you
about the drop off?
At what point did you stop thinking like I'm going to get these nice cars?
The last proper like over the top car I had was a Mercedes ML63, which is like a 4x4 Mercedes, 6.3 liter engine. Oof. I had that when I was on loan at Sunderland for the year class. But then I moved
climate
to London.
Climate destroying bastard.
Yeah, yeah. Moved to London after, and I realized that like that engine doesn't work driving around the streets of London. So that's when I started to go in another direction. Okay. So that was 2012, 2013. So yeah, I've spent 10 years just trying to be better. Yeah. Save more money. Better guy now.
That's life.
That's life.
Just back on the internationals. And I mean, you talk about kind of being eligible for different countries and that sort of thing. Does style of play come into this as well? Because if you think about kind of like national identity and national identity styles of play, that sort of thing, does that affect anything?
I think in terms of people deciding where to play, I think where they are based is huge. You know, it's not like you find a lot of the time players who are playing in different countries deciding to go and play for a country from elsewhere and so on. And yeah, I think that does play into it. But then also the point I was trying to get to really was, when you think about styles of play, do you consider international football to be boring? That's a question for the two of you.
Me personally?
Yeah.
Not really. But no, again, I don't engage. It's funny because you talk about hating it. It's like, I don't hate it. I don't really engage with it.
Yeah.
Well, you know. So my answer early on about the Premier League and stuff is because I'm more and more convinced it's not so much the football the people are interested in. It's the drama around it. Or it might superficially be the football. Like, oh yeah, like we're going to sign this guy and he's good at this. But I don't think it's the football that holds people's attention. It's all the stuff around it. It's the drama. Like the example I always go back to, there was an international break a few years ago. And you think, oh yeah, this is dull. Can't wait for the Premier League to come back. And it was that game when there was the Merseyside derby at lunchtime, and it was when Pickford absolutely murdered Van Dijk. And then everything that came with it, like that game, the result was mad. The fallout to it was mad. And it's like, the Barclays is back immediately after the international break. This is what it's all about. But I think it's all that kind of stuff that people love. And in these qualifiers, you don't have that. You've just got the game, which I'm not convinced people are fully watching it for the football. And then there's no controversy afterwards. There's no like crisis club scenario where it's like, oh, United are shit this weekend, Spurs are shit this weekend, whatever. There's none of that. I just think it's lacking in that drama around it until you get to a World Cup. A World Cup's great because it's always something. Do you remember before the Russia World Cup? And like Lopetegui got sacked as a Spain manager like 3 days before the World Cup started. Like the Suarez handball, like 14 years.
Do you know what, though?
But like, there's always something in a tournament, it's fine, but I don't think you get that. And I think it's because people are less interested in the football itself and more about the entertainment around it. And that's what international
football where is. I would slightly push back against that is how you're somebody
push back Nadal.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, also still not in line with that. But I think you just really like football. I don't think there are as many people like you as you think. So, say Lopetegui being sacked before like a World Cup, like that's journalistically, that's huge.
Yeah,
that's an interest in like another big team. But say if you ask just the general person who, you know, watches England what Spain's starting 11 is going to be, their best starting 11, they'll probably start quoting people who played like 3-4 years ago the last time they saw them play.
Well, to be fair, I think I probably would at this point.
So I mean, so we're not really that bothered about it as such, you know what I mean? So it's not,
that's what I mean.
Yeah,
I'd go further than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but when it comes to a tournament, yeah, we don't know the 11s, but it's like, you know, but it's that, like when the World Cup was
there's
on.
No flags.
How good was that? It's like 10 a.m. kickoff. Like, I'm going to watch 4 games today.
Yeah.
It's the best.
I
and then it's like you learn it as you go through. Like, oh, yeah, Rodri's playing for them, is he?
I'd go further than that, to the point of a Barclays weekend. I only actually really care about City.
Yeah, but then it's like there's the drama elsewhere. Like if United lose that weekend, then it's
I might, yeah, I might
still just two it. Things though, and he's probably yeah, not going to watch
but this is the but this is the thing about, like, you know, you say about Spain's 11 or whatever, well, Crystal Palace's 11, Forest's 11.
Yeah, I have
people
no
don't
idea.
Know, but and also it's like it's that thing of like when a player goes from, let's say, Morgan Gibbs-White, who I think is quality, goes to United, City, Liverpool or whatever, all of a sudden it's like, if you have a bad game one day, everyone knows about it. But if you have a bad game for Forest, nobody knows on like the football public level, because nobody's really paying attention. And you don't have to pay attention to 4 games that happen that weekend, or even, for argument's sake, 8. Because if you've got a mad game going off, or United get dicked, and it's just the full-on, you know, Roy Keane, Carragher, Neville, Micah, they're all doing their arguing on Sky. That's the big story from that. let's say this weekend.
I think the thing with that actually like sparks.
Like if somebody loses, that's the big story. You only need one out of 10 games to be a hit, and you've got your big. And there's always one. You never have a bad Premier League weekend.
That's it for this episode of Let Me Talk Details. Sam, there was more from this episode for members. What extra bits can people hear?
We've got plenty more on international football, looking at the recent fast goals from Florian Wirtz and Christoph Baumgartner, and if those lightning quick starts would work as specific tactics on a regular basis.
The free versions of Let Me Talk will be stopping at the end of April, so becoming a member will be the only way to listen to the show after that. It's only £2 a month or £20 for the whole year. You'll get 2 months free there. If you're listening to the free version now, get over to lmtpod.com for all the information on how you can sign up.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.